our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 132, stanzas 1, 4, and 5. Within thy temple's sacred courts, with loving and adoring thought, we contemplate thy grace, O God, and all thy deeds with mercy fraught. 1, 4, and 5 of Psalter 132.
Thank you. Congregation, let us together read what we can find in the Gospel according to Matthew, and there of the 9th chapter, verses 9 through 17. Matthew 9, beginning with verse 9, but let us first read the law of God according to Exodus 20. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God, in it thou shalt not do any work. Thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. We repeat Matthew 9, beginning with verse 9 through and including 17. And as Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom, and he said unto him, Follow me. And he arose and followed him. And it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, Why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? But when Jesus heard that he said unto them, They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Then came to him the disciples of John, saying, Why do we and the Pharisees fast oft, but thy disciples fast not? Jesus said unto them, Can the children of the bride chamber mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken from them, and then shall they fast. No man putteth a piece of new cloth unto an old garment, for that which is put in to fill it up taketh from the garment, and the rent is made worse. Neither do men put new wine into old bottles, else the bottles break, and the wine runneth out, and the bottles perish. But they put new wine into new bottles, and both are preserved. Thus for the reading of God's word.
We will now read the form for the administration of holy baptism, which can be found on page 55 or 126 in the back of your Psalter.
The principal part of the doctrine of holy baptism are three. First, that we with our children are conceived and born in sin, and therefore are children of wrath, insomuch that we cannot enter into the kingdom of God except we are born again. This, the dipping in or sprinkling with water, teaches us, whereby the impurity of our souls is signified, and we admonish to loathe and humble ourselves before God, and seek for our purification and salvation without ourselves. Secondly, holy baptism witnesses and sealeth unto us the washing away of our sins through Jesus Christ. Therefore we are baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. For when we are baptized in the name of the Father, God the Father witnesses and sealeth unto us that he doth make an eternal covenant of grace with us and adopts us for his children and heirs, and therefore will provide us with every good thing and avert all evil or turn it to our profit. And when we are baptized in the name of the Son sealeth unto us that he doth wash us in his blood from all our sins, incorporating us into the fellowship of his death and resurrection, so that we are freed from all our sins and accounted righteous before God. In like manner, when we are baptized in the name of the Holy Ghost assures us by this holy sacrament that he will dwell in us and sanctify us to be members of Christ, applying unto us that which we have in Christ, namely the washing away of our sins and the daily renewing of our lives, till we shall finally be presented without spot or wrinkle among the assembly of the elect in life eternal. Thirdly, whereas in all covenants there are contained two parts, therefore are we by God through baptism admonished of and obliged unto new obedience, namely, that we cleave to this one God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, that we trust in him and love him with all our hearts, with all our souls, with all our mind, and with all our strength, that we forsake the world, crucify our old nature, walk in a new and holy life. And if we sometimes through weakness fall into sin, we must not therefore despair of God's mercy, nor continue in sin, since baptism is a seal and undoubted testimony that we have an eternal covenant of grace with God. And although our young children do not understand these things, we may not therefore exclude them from baptism. For as they are without their knowledge partakers of the condemnation in Adam, so are they again received unto grace in Christ. As God speaketh unto Abraham, the father of all the faithful, and therefore unto us and our children, saying, I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee, in their generations for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. Genesis 17:7. This also the apostle Peter testified with these words, "For the promises unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." Acts 2:39. Therefore God formally commanded them to be circumcised, which was a seal of the covenant and of the righteousness of faith. And therefore Christ also embraced them, laid his hands upon them, and blessed them. Mark 10. Since then baptism is come in the place of circumcision, therefore infants are to be baptized as heirs of the kingdom of God and of his covenant, and parents are in duty bound further to instruct their children herein when they shall arrive to years of discretion, that therefore this holy ordinance of God may be administered to his glory, to our comfort, and to the edification of his church. Let us call upon his holy name.
O almighty and eternal God, thou who hast according to thy severe judgment punished the unbelieving and unrepentant world with the flood, and hast according to thy great mercy saved and protected believing Noah and his family, thou who hast drowned the obstinate Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, and has led thy people Israel through the midst of the sea upon dry ground, by which baptism was signified, we beseech thee, and that thou wilt be pleased of thine infinite mercy, graciously to look upon these children, and incorporate them by thy Holy Spirit into thy Son Jesus Christ, and that they may be buried with him into his death, and be raised with him in newness of life, and that they may daily follow him, joyfully bearing their cross, and cleave unto him in true faith, firm hope, and ardent love, that they may, with a comfortable sense of thy favor, leave this life, which is nothing but a continual death, and at the last day may appear without terror before the judgment seat of Christ thy Son, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who with thee and the Holy Ghost, one only God, lives and reigns forever. Amen. And while the children are brought in, let us sing from Psalter 275, the fourth stanza. As one lays a garment by, and thou wilt change the starry sky, like a vesture worn and old, but thy years shall ne'er be told. And what follows in stanza 4 of Psalter 275. Thank you. I now ask the parents to arise and to answer the following questions. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have heard that baptism is an ordinance of God to seal unto us and to our seed his covenant. Therefore, it must be used for that end, and not out of custom or superstition, that it may then be manifest that you are thus minded, you are to answer sincerely to these questions. First, whether you acknowledge that although our children are conceived and born in sin, and therefore are subject to all miseries, yea, to condemnation itself, yet that they are sanctified in Christ, and therefore as members of his church ought to be baptized. Secondly, whether you acknowledge the doctrine which is contained in the Old and New Testaments and in the articles of the Christian faith, and which is taught here in this Christian church to be the true and perfect doctrine of salvation. Thirdly, whether you promise and intend to see these children when come to the years of discretion, whereof you are parents, instructed and brought up in the aforesaid doctrine, or help or cause them to be instructed therein to the utmost of your power. And what is your answer, Mr. and Mrs. Ben van Hagenbosch? Mr. and Mrs. Herbert DeLeo. Dear parents, we have just heard out of the form, and we have also heard in the way of the Lord's providence in the past 2 weeks out of the Heidelberg Catechism the blessed value of a holy baptism, that it is both a sign and it is a seal. And as we just heard, a sign and a seal of the triune God, that is, of the Father, that he signifieth and that he witnesseth and that he sealeth his covenant and the adoption of his children. We have heard of the Son, that he witnesseth, that he sealeth the washing of his children, the incorporation of his children into that covenant. And we have heard that it is a witness of the Holy Spirit, that he will dwell within his church, that he will sanctify them, and that he will cleanse them more and more from sin. What can we value? What can we prize more in this world than these things? A sign and a seal. The sign, a sign, that is something that is not too difficult for us to understand. A sign is that which stands for something else, that water that will be placed on the forehead of your child. That is a sign, a signification of blood. That is the central matter in holy baptism. But the seal is not so easy to understand. What is the purpose? How does that work? That these matters are sealed. Well, you have no doubt received for your children also in these weeks a certificate of birth. And on that certificate is also a seal. What a value that that seal has for your child and for you. And then that seal does give to you and it will in time give also to your child something of a comfort, of an assurance, of authenticity. And now such is the purpose of a seal. But parents, just imagine for a moment that the name on that birth certificate was incorrect. When that name was incorrect, then what value would that seal have for you or for your child? Then you understand that all of a sudden, then that seal has no more value anymore. No, than it is for someone else, that it is not for your child. And so that is now also that this seal of holy baptism, when that child that is one whose name is written in that Lamb's Book of Life, and then there is a very, very great prophet that is of authenticity. Then it is the word of the Lord. Then it is the oath of the Lord concerning his covenant for his elect. Then you understand that has very much value for you, has much value for your child. But when that name is not written there, or in the end, then we know that it will not profit, but it will only testify against us. May the Lord give to you then as parents a place. We read of Jacob that he wrestled and that he could not let the Lord go except that he bless him. And that is now the means that is given to you as parents on behalf of your infant child. May the Lord give you such a place, and that also this sacrament may be a savor of life unto life and not a savor of death unto death. Congregation, after baptism, we ask you to arise and to sing Psalter 425, Stanza 5. Olivia, Hannah, I baptize thee in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Jenna Joanne, I baptize thee in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Thank you. Let us now close with thanksgiving and at the same time ask a blessing upon this service. We hope to remember in prayer Andre van Driesten, who was airlifted to Calgary last night and who is at this time in intensive care. Dustin Grisnick, who had surgery in this past week. And the Gulliker family, who has stood at the open grave. We announce also that Mr. Brian Slingerland had no freedom to accept the office as a deacon. Let us try to pray. Almighty God and merciful Father, we thank and praise Thee that Thou hast forgiven us and our children all our sins. Through the blood of Thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, and received us through Thy Holy Spirit as members of Thine only begotten Son, and adopted us to be Thy children, and sealed and confirmed the same unto us by holy baptism. We beseech Thee, through the same Son of Thy love, that Thou wilt be pleased always to govern these baptized children by Thy Holy Spirit, that they may be piously and religiously educated, increase and grow up in the Lord Jesus Christ, that they then may acknowledge Thy fatherly goodness and mercy, which Thou hast shown to them and us, and live in all righteousness under our only teacher, King, and High Priest, Jesus Christ, and manfully fight against and overcome sin, the devil, and his whole dominion, to the end that they may eternally appraise and magnify Thee and Thy Son, Jesus Christ, together with the Holy Ghost, the one only true God, who has instituted this blessed and holy sacrament, that it may be for the comfort of Thy children in the wilderness of this world, and that they may behold something from time to time of Thy great faithfulness, that hope and expectation of the continuance of Thy church and may be born and maintained, and that they may also magnify Thy name. Lord, remember our young people and our children. They have also baptized foreheads, and so they travel with us all together to a great eternity. And we have heard even in these moments how that we know not what a day may bring forth. Oh, remember that boy who has been taken to the hospital and who lays there in a serious condition. Oh, could it please Thee to spare yet his life? And wilt Thou look upon him in Thy mercy to grant him health and strength again? And wilt Thou bring that mother back again from that faraway country and give her to be with her children and her son and her husband together? Oh, wilt Thou look upon that family in these hours and in these days and supply from above as Thou alone art able? Impress these matters upon each and every one of us, also upon our youth and upon our children, when the callings, they are so multiplied, and they are coming so, so close unto us, so that we know not our life for one moment. And then it is possible that we are entering any moment into that great eternity from which we will never come back. Oh, how shall it be when the tree shall fall to the north or to the south? Oh, Lord, wilt Thou give a hastening for the sake of our life and the application also of thy word this day. Oh, that it may be applied to young and old together, that we could not let thee go any more except that thou bless us. We may acknowledge thee, that thou hast brought through the child through surgery once again. Oh, humble the heart of the parents, and wilt thou give unto the child also to look up unto thee, to acknowledge thee for all thy great goodness. Give healing in the body again, supply in the continuing needs for him and for the other children of the congregation, and that have special needs that are known unto thee. Remember all that mourn, those that have stood at the open grave in this week, and also others that miss their loved ones. Supply thou from heaven in all where man is not able to give comfort. And wilt thou teach us also to number our days and to apply our hearts unto wisdom. We hear there are also others, relatives of those that are in our midst, that are in serious conditions. O Lord, could it please thee to give a cry to the throne of grace? For we see that life that comes to an end, and we need to be converted. We need to be born again. Oh, we need to be included in that blood that has been shed upon that cursed tree. Oh, do it then also in this day, could it please thee. And wilt thou bless the means that are used within thy church. Remember him that had no freedom to accept the office. Oh, that thou may give him that he may receive a little comfort in this decision, and that he may receive from thee also a blessing out of thy heavenly store. For it was for him no easy way. But wilt thou give yet also in our midst one that may be able to stand in that office, that the church may be served. Lord, remember us too, when we are to go in this morning before our flock again. Oh, that thou may strengthen us for this labor more and more, and do us with power from on high also, and thy spirit in a rich measure, and the ability to be simple and to be plain and to be true to the meaning of thy Holy Spirit. Could it please thee that thy word may go forth with power this day? Remember him that labors in Calgary, and all thy truly sent servants, and all that labor in the vacant congregations this day. We ask it in the forgiveness of all our sin, for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter number 400, stanzas 1, 3, 6, and 7. Hallelujah, praise Jehovah, O my soul, Jehovah praise. I will sing the glorious praises of my God through all my days. And the last collection today is for our school, Psalter 400, 1, 3, 6, and 7. Thank you. Congregation, the words of our text can be found for this morning in the Gospel of Matthew, at the 9th chapter, verses 14 and 15. Matthew 9, verses 14 and 15. Then came to him the disciples of John, saying, "Why do we and the Pharisees fast oft, but thy disciples fast not?" And Jesus said unto them, "Can the children of the bride chamber mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken from them, and then shall they fast." So far, the words of our text. The children of the bride chamber, absolved from mourning in the bridegroom's presence. First, the children of the bride chamber identified. That means children. We need to find out who these children of the bride chamber are. Identify them. Second, the children of the bride chamber accused. And third, the children of the bride chamber defended. The children of the bride chamber absolved from mourning in the bridegroom's presence. First, the children of the bride chamber identified. Second, the children of the bride chamber accused. And third, the children of the bride chamber defended. And afterwards, we hope to close with a few words of application. The children of the bride chamber, thus, who are they? Who is speaking? It is the Lord Jesus Christ, and Jesus said unto them. And then he speaks about children of the bride chamber. We would say in our days, the groomsmen, the friends of the bridegroom. Is the Lord Jesus then at a wedding? No, he is not at a wedding. And yet he is, boys and girls, at a feast. He is in the house of Levi. After that, he has called Levi. And then Levi has made him a feast in his house. And that is the desire of a newborn soul. They will do everything for the Lord. Is that also living in your heart? And then there were many guests there. And what kind of guests were they? Well, we read they were publicans and they were sinners. Pharisees. They object to this. Why eateth your master with publicans and with sinners? But the Lord Jesus, he certainly did not object to this. He begins to speak just like he is at a wedding feast when he is sitting with publicans and with sinners. Is that not, congregation, a great wonder? And then he speaks about the children of the bride chamber. And to whom does he refer? He refers to his disciples. He calls them by this name, such a name. Many names for Christ in the Bible. Also many names for the church in the Bible. And those names, they tell us something about who Christ is. And those names, they tell us something about who that the church of God is. Children of the bride chamber, what a love, what a tenderness can be felt in the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he speaks about his disciples when they are in a special time of that spiritual life. It is in the very beginning of that life. The Lord Jesus, he is just come into this world. the Lord Jesus, he is just calling forth his disciples out of this world. Thus, there are steps in that life of grace. There is a growing in that life of grace. Thus, we can read it in the Word of God. Then there are children, and there are young men, and there are fathers in grace. There are daughters of Jerusalem. There are virgins, and then there is the bride. There are sheep, and then there are also the lambs. And now he is calling them the children of the bride chamber. He is not calling them in this moment the bride, no. And yet they stand in a very blessed relation unto himself. These are the friends of the bridegroom. How is it with the church? Oh, by birth and by baptism, and then we become a member of that visible church. But that signifies also something. That is a signification of the entrance actually into the true kingdom of God. Thus, if that is truly realized, then we become children of the bride chamber, friends of the bridegroom. Not the bride? Oh, certainly. Oh, certainly, because that is speaking about the church. But there is a difference in the experience. There is a difference in the steps. Thus, in regeneration, there is a new relation. A new relation unto the Lord himself. That a man is no longer lying under God's wrath, but he is coming under his favor. In regeneration, there is an actual change of state, that they may become the children of the bride chamber, or they become the little ones. That is, they are distinctions largely ignored in the day in which we live in the Christendom, young people of our day. Where will you find it? Keep your ears wide open, because it is despised. And these are often even mocked. But it is according to the holy word of God. This is the Lord Jesus Christ himself who is speaking here. And this is his practice continually. And how often does he not speak so tenderly of those little ones, of those beginners? Isaiah prophesied of this long before that the Lord Jesus has come, that Isaiah has spoken of him and how that he would deal, that he would not break the bruised reed, and that he would not quench the smoking flax. But as it is today, so was it also then. Then those little ones, they are in a special way subject to the attacks of the enemy, the wolves. And they are looking even for the little lambs of that flock. We see that in our second thought, the children of the bride chamber accused. Then came to him the disciples of John, saying, "Why do we and the Pharisees fast oft, but thy disciples fast not?" The disciples of John, who are they? Well, we know that John has been imprisoned. We know that John also has eventually been beheaded. He was killed. He was slain. John had disciples. And we know that that John the Baptist, he has, as the forerunner of Christ, pointed him out. Behold, the Lamb of God. And then we know that those disciples that were with him at that time, they have left John and they have followed him. One of them was Andrew. And so those that had truly that same spirit as the Lord had given unto John, they ought also to have followed after the Lord Jesus, because John the Baptist was no end in himself, but he was that messenger who has gone before to direct unto the Son of God. And yet there were some, apparently, even after that John was imprisoned, even after that John was beheaded, and that they have held on to John the Baptist, or they have become, as it were, a sect in and among themselves, to have their own group in a certain way, in somewhat of a competition to the Lord Jesus Christ, that was not in the spirit, of course, of the of John the Baptist. And then what happens? Well, congregation, when we have the form and when we have not the substance, then what happens? And then what happens to all of our religion? Then it is only outward. And then it will be a precept upon precept, and it will be line upon line. Then came to him the disciples of John, saying, "Why do we and the Pharisees fast oft, but thy disciples fast not?" Probably these disciples of John, they have been instigated by the Pharisees. They had not so much in common. But when we can find something in common, well, then we can group together. And so the Pharisees, they have, as it were, taken advantage, and they have gone to these disciples of John, and they have collaborated with them, and they said, "You fast, and we fast, and look, they do not fast." And so they have come, and they have gotten those disciples to go to the Lord Jesus with this accusation. We read, John came neither eating nor drinking. Why was that? Well, that was for good reason. Because this fasting of John the Baptist, that was a sign. It was a sign of repentance. It was a sign of turning. It was an ascetic life that John lived when he ate locusts and wild honey, when he lived out in the wilderness. And that was to flee all that is pleasing unto the flesh, that we may turn from our sin, that we may repent, and that we may turn again unto the Lord. Why? That was so necessary, that we may be made fit for the coming of that Messiah. And therefore the life of John and the life of the apostles of John and the Pharisees. Well, congregation, we know something of those Pharisees, or we know that they have fasted often. There was only one day that they were required to fast. And that was on the great day of atonement. That was in the law from the Lord. And yet there were many days, we read, of one that came to Christ and said that he fasted twice in the week. Yes, because that was the common practice of the Pharisees. Then they have added and added and added, we know, with the washing of the cups and all kinds of things. Why? Well, once again, because the spirit was missing, because the substance was missing. Is that also missing in our life? Or when there is no life in our soul, when we miss the substance, then we have only the form, and then we make a religion out of our form. So it was with the disciples of John. So it was now also with those Pharisees. And now, if we have a lone form, then congregation, what is it but hypocrisy? And when it is all hypocrisy, then I am looking at everyone else. And I am saying, well, he does not do as I do. And then I make my life and my corrupted ordinances into a law for everyone else. And so it was now with the Pharisees. And then they join with these apostles, these disciples of John. Why do we and the Pharisees fast oft, but thy disciples fast not? It is, of course, against the disciples, and they go to Jesus. We can read just a few verses before that they have something against Jesus, that he sits and eats with publicans and sinners, and they go to the disciples. Thus, they are causing nothing but a division. These disciples, they have done nothing wrong. And how do they know that those disciples do not fast? Because what is the teaching of Christ to his disciples? Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head, and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Thus, really, according to the commandment and the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ, oh, then that fasting, then that mourning of that people that is done in a way in which it is secret from everyone else, that he says, you have the substance before the Lord, and you have not then to make it plain before men. But congregation, there is an accusation. And what shall those children of the bride chamber now say? Well, congregation, how often is it that those children of the bride chamber, of that church of God, that they have nothing to say? How often is it that Satan is coming in the life of those little ones, and he brings his accusations against them, and they do not have one word wherewith to answer them, him. They are so inexperienced. Their knowledge is small. They are unacquainted with the warfare, with the strife. Oh, they are not those hardened soldiers yet in that church militant. They experience something. Oh, they experience in their heart love. Love to the Lord. Oh, that their heart is going out after the Lord. This they may confess. This they may feel. This they may experience in their life. And then Satan comes. And he says, but you have also a love for this world. And then they have to say, yes, that is true. I cannot deny that. And then they do not understand. And then everything is thrown upside down for them. And they do not know how to give Satan an answer. That is a people who experience something, the children of the bride chamber. They are so glad this morning. They are so glad because they wake up on and it is the Sabbath day. Oh, then they are looking forward. that they may go with the voice of joy and praise with the multitude to the house of the Lord. Oh, this is their life. This is their desire. This is their practice. This is their longing. And then that enemy comes. Oh, then Satan is coming. And he is saying, but look at your life in the world. And then they have to say, yes, that is true. I cannot deny that. It is not the way that it should be. And they do not understand. And the enemy is able to turn everything so upside down. Oh, they experience something. They experience those children of the bride chamber. They experience hope. Oh, they feel something of an expectation. At the coming of the kingdom of God that is living in their heart. Oh, they are looking forward. Yes. And then Satan is coming. And he is saying, but you do not know your sin. My sin. Yes, that is true. I'm sure it is much worse than I see it to be. I do not know it as it ought, as it really is, as I ought to know it. And so that enemy, oh, he is turning everything so upside down so that they do not know what to say, so that they have no answer for that prince of darkness. Why? Why do we and the Pharisees fast off, but thy disciples fast not, O Satan? He can take the garb of the strictest religion, of the most experienced of God's children, all that he may harass those children of the bride chamber. But congregation, he cannot overcome them. No, why not? We see that in our third thought, the children of the bride chamber defended. In the days of Hezekiah, then we read that Sennacherib, he has sent Rabshakeh against Jerusalem. And he has come there with his accusations. He has come there mocking. He has come there cursing. And congregation, he makes the people of the Lord to tremble. And the king, he says, answer him not a word. And then the Lord, he sends his servant. The Lord, he sends Isaiah. And Isaiah may speak. This is the word that the Lord hath spoken concerning him, the virgin, the daughter of Zion, hath despised thee and laughed thee to scorn. The daughter of Jerusalem hath shaken her head at thee. Whom hast thou reproached and blasphemed? And against whom hast thou exalted thy voice and lifted up thine eyes on high? Even against the Holy One of Israel. Oh, it is not only against the daughter of my people, but when you touch her, then you touch the apple of my eye. Therefore, thus saith the Lord concerning the king of Assyria, he shall not come into this city, nor shoot an arrow there, nor come before it with the shield, nor cast a bank against it. By the way that he came, by the same shall he return, and shall not come into this city, saith the Lord. For I will defend this city to save it for mine own sake and for my servant David's sake. congregation, today, baptism. Oh, we do not realize, if a person may receive the substance of this, if a person may be brought under the care of this King. Oh, we cannot express what a care that he is coming under. That people, they are so weak in themselves. That people, they have not one answer for all the accusations of the enemy. But they have not to answer. They do not need to answer. Why do we and the Pharisees fast oft, but thy disciples fast not? And Jesus said unto them, can the children of the bride chamber mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken from them, and then shall they fast. Oh, can the children of the bride chamber mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? What does the Lord Jesus say? He says, you lay a demand upon my people, which is entirely inappropriate. My people cannot mourn now. And why can they not mourn? Because I am with them. And then he speaks about this as a day in which a bridegroom is coming to take his bride. Oh, children, you know such a day also, do you not? Oh, you have one time or another come to a wedding day. And is there then a mourning? Is there then a weeping? Oh, then it is just the opposite, you say. That is a day of feasting. That is a day of rejoicing. No, then we do require of no one, and that they fast and that they mourn. Now the Lord Jesus, he says, I come to take my bride. I have just appeared, and shall my people mourn? And when I have come, oh, it is just the opposite. And they have been waiting, and now I have appeared. And now their heart is filled with hope. Their heart is filled with expectation. Oh, they are looking for the coming of the kingdom of God. Oh, they are looking for the dispersing of every enemy. Oh, they are looking for the Son of God to come and to sit upon the throne, that he may rule, that he may deliver us from all of our enemies. Oh, then there is an expectation which does not allow that people to mourn in those days. Can the children of the bride chamber mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken from them, and then shall they fast. Indeed, he says, those days are coming that they shall fast. They are days when I shall be taken from them. They are days when I will be ripped away from them. I will be violently taken away. And then they will mourn. Oh, yes, then they will fast. Then they will have to bear the separation. But that is not today. And these need not carry yet this burden. No, they are too young for this. They have not to carry this as yet. I will lay it upon them. But I will lay it upon them in my own time. I have many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. All that is the tender care of this great bridegroom, that is just the opposite from the unbearable burdens that the Prince of Darkness is laying upon his church. But let us consider that after that we sing from Psalter 163, stanzas 2 and 3, the loving kindness of my God is more than life to me. So I will bless thee while I live and lift my prayer to thee. And what follows in 2 and 3 of 163. Can the children of the bride chamber mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? Congregation, the church of God cannot mourn in the presence of Christ. We read in the book of Revelation that the Lord says to his church, "Thou hast left thy first love." Thus there is in the life of God's church, a first love. Often, God's children are looking back to this time, longing, wishing, because they can depart, but they cannot bring themselves back. Jeremiah, he says, "Thus saith the Lord, I remember thee, the kindness of thy youth, the love of thine espousals, when thou wentest after me in the wilderness, in a land that was not sown." Blessed time. Is that a time of weeping then? What do you think, young people? Oh, yes. Many, many tears are shed by that people. Tears of missing, tears of longing, tears of desire. But we will tell you something. There is more joy. There is more rejoicing in one of those tears than all the rejoicing that men are doing in this world. Why? Why? Because it is so good. It is so good to return unto the Lord. May you experience that in your young life. And then on the other hand, all this time that is such a time of rejoicing, it is a time of hope. It is a time of expectation. It is a time of looking forward. You know, they can sing their heart out so many times in the church of God. Oh, Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. And then it becomes true. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast ordained praise. Oh, we love to hear it, children. Also in an outward way, when in the church of God, oh, you will sing out these praises of the Lord. Oh, those young ones, those children of the bride chamber, oh, congregation, they do not realize it. They feel themselves. They do not realize how close that the Lord is. It is like those little children, those infants. Oh, they are laid upon the breast of their mother. And then they may drink and they may feel how close they are. They may feel the comfort. Oh, and now those little ones, they may drink of the milk of that word of God. And they do not realize it because they have no word even from the Lord. But they may experience something of the closeness of the Lord unto them. And now can the children of the bride chamber mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? Oh, then it is that the Lord has given to them that very special time of closeness unto him. Oh, that experienced church, they know that there is going to come a different time for them. But they don't have to bear that now. No, they are, as it were, in that time of youth. There is a youth natural, and there is a youth spiritual. And as it is in a natural way, would we take the burdens and the sorrows, fathers and mothers, and lay them upon our joyful sons and daughters? never. Oh, never. Oh, we give them, we allow them a different time because it is a different time from the Lord himself, oh, young people. The joys of this world, they carry with them great sorrows. Solomon, the wisest man and inspired by the Lord, he says, even in laughter, there is a great heaviness. And the end of that mirth, he says, that is heaviness. Oh, do you feel it? Sometimes in laughing with the world, that your heart is sorrowful. That's the way of Satan, young people. That's the way of the devil. Oh, listen. Listen to the Lord Jesus Christ, how he is defending his people when others are coming and saying, now thy children, they have to mourn. Thy children, they have to fast. And he is now defending their joy. He says, can the children of the bride chamber mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? Oh, they are lawful pleasures, lawful joys. It is lawful laughter from the King of the heaven and of the earth. Oh, do you ever consider, young people, the laughter of Abraham? Do you ever read in the Word of God and consider the dancing of David, the King of Israel, before the Ark of the Lord? Oh, it is true. The days will come when the bridegroom is going to be taken away from the people, and then they will fast. That is the experience of the true Church of God. Next week, we will begin to consider that together, because next week begins the weeks of Passion already in this season. Oh, yes, there will come a time when they will begin to mourn, because it is not an easy thing to die to self. And everything that people are building on in themselves, all the false foundations, they are going to need to be stripped away. Or it is going to cost them so many tears. But Christ, he is not only violently taken away from them. No, he is also given back to them. On that day of the resurrection, oh, congregation, how was it then? How was it for his disciples? Oh, could the children of the bride chamber then mourn anymore? No. Oh, no. No, then it was impossible. And when the Lord will come in the life of his children, and when he will reveal himself, when he will show himself for one moment, can that people mourn? Speak, children of the Lord. Tell how it is. Can you then mourn? When the Lord will show a little bit, when he will open out of his word what grace is, free and sovereign grace, for the chiefest of the sinners, do you think that people can then mourn? Oh, it is impossible. Because then the bridegroom is with them, and then they cannot mourn. Because when they may have him, then they have everything. Oh, when they have him, then there is no sin. Oh, no, they cannot mourn. Then they can only rejoice. They can only ask others to rejoice, to say, come and hear what the Lord has done for my soul. That is the rejoicing of a saved sinner. He took me from destruction's pit and from the miry clay. Upon a rock he set my feet and steadfast made my way. Oh, can the children of the bride chamber mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? Oh, congregation, though he stood behind our wall, when he would only show himself for a moment through the lattice, know then that people cannot mourn in those days, because the bridegroom is then with them. Oh, then they see no sin, and those are foretastes. Oh, they are little foretastes of that glory that is going to be revealed. Oh, a little foretaste of that time, a time when, oh, Jesus Christ, Paul says, He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. What did the Lord Jesus pray? He said, My Father, I will that they whom Thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory. I go, he said to his disciples, to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and I will receive you unto myself. Why? That where I am, there ye may be also. Therefore, Paul says, so shall we ever be with the Lord in congregation. Oh, can the children of the bride chamber mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? That is impossible. No, because there is no more sin, because nothing that defileth shall be able to enter there. And therefore, there shall all a sorrow and sighing flee away. And there God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, wilt thou make us, each and every one, to be the children of the bride chamber? Oh, could we have even but the least place in the house of the Lord? Because it is better to be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. Oh, we ask thee, Lord, that thou would take young and old together in this morning hour, and wilt thou cause a holy jealousy to be born in the heart of everyone, all that we may be delivered from the bondage of that prince of darkness, and that we may be brought into that blessed kingdom of thine only begotten Son, who will make his people to rejoice forever and forever. Oh, take reasons out of thyself. Dismiss us with thy blessing. Forgive our many sins. Bring us with desire in thy house again in this afternoon hour. And wilt thou look upon all the needy for Jesus' sake. Amen. Our closing psalter is number 430, 1, 2, and 3. Hallelujah. Praise ye God. In his temple shout his Lord. Praise him in the wide extent of his spacious firmament. And what follows in all three stanzas of 430. Thank you. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessings.